is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Hello. Sorry. That was William Tinkin, and he's got you're going to be joining us for the episode this time, Will? Oh, you got to go? All right. Well, your dad's going to be here to pick you. Oh, he let you take the car. Okay. Well, we probably shouldn't have let him smoke all that weed before he left. You know, he's six. He'll be all right. But see you later, Will. Hey, thanks so much for coming out to do the intro to the podcast. I really appreciate it. You know, I had to just record something and just use it each time instead of making him show up to every episode to actually do the intro. Yeah, I really.
He's not punctual.
Ah, that's okay.
He's pretty upset he skipped through nap time for this.
Yeah, he's probably mad because I didn't give him a piece of the candy I made. I bet that's why he's upset.
We gave him THC. We can't give him sugar on top of that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Only only one addictive substance at a time, I guess. Well, hello. Welcome to episode 90 of Bitter Comics. This is JT Foreman, and I am here with two new good friends of mine, Taryn DeJango Tarango and Nick the Dick. He's not a Faglia Sapaglia. I took your old nickname and went the other way. There we go. Thanks a lot for doing the podcast, guys. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Like I said, this is episode 89, so...
You said 90 before.
90. I'm sorry. Episode 90. The next episode, I will apologize to the number 90.
You need us.
We begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. Now, this is episode 90, so for my insensitivity in this episode 89, I would like to apologize to black people, privacy, cake, and credit cards. If you'd like to know why I'm apologizing to each of these things, check out episode 89 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, just go to that website and scroll down a little bit on the right-hand side of the page. There are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or My Yahoo, and you're not going to believe this, after over 2 years of doing this podcast, I finally got my podcast into the iTunes store.
Yeah.
So if you go in the iTunes store under humor, or you just look up Bitter Comics, you know, I'm in there, finally. Yes.
That's good.
If you feel I owe any additional apologies, or to make any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and in the subject line, please put, JT, you really do need to start smoking pot.
My goal is to fill that inbox with my comments on this podcast.
Awesome. Can I make an apology too?
Absolutely.
Megan, you should probably get checked. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You know Megan?
You know Megan.
I know Megan.
We
all know Megan.
Eskimo Brothers. We just got a little bit closer, you guys.
There you go.
A little bit closer.
I don't have to buy anything from you ever. You take what I want. Thanks for this mic.
How's it going, guys?
It's going well.
Like I said, thanks a lot for doing the podcast.
Dude,
now,
I begged you to let me do this podcast.
Partially, but you didn't realize you didn't need to. Honestly, really, the hardest thing about doing the podcast is getting the guests, because, you know, this isn't paid or anything. Everyone's just doing it of their own, you know, if they want to and if they got time and scheduling this stuff. I gave you two pieces of candy.
That's right. Does that count? Dang it,
that's what the candy was.
Yes. Oh, you got it.
Yes. Well, you guys were smoking pot, so yes, I'll do anything. Give me candy.
I might have smoked some pot once today.
I don't remember if I ever talked about this on the podcast, but I have smoked pot on two occasions in my life.
Only twice.
People like it, that's cool, and I want to encourage everyone to do. I think that it is everyone's human right to experience the pleasure that they are capable of. So if smoking pot gives you pleasure, then you should smoke pot. If sex gives you pleasure, you should smoke pot. So that means my girlfriend, every time she says no, she's a war criminal. That's my theory anyways. It's the weirdest Geneva Convention. I want to see the Geneva Convention porn version. That's going to be awesome.
I'm interested too.
If we're going to call this a free society, you should let everyone do what they want to do. The two times I smoked pot, I don't remember if I've ever talked about this on the podcast. So if I have, I apologize. But the first time, I got really hungry. It was just after I got out of the Navy.
Munchies.
And I got really hungry and I ate these two giant cheese sandwiches because bread and cheese and mayonnaise was the only thing we had in the house.
I can't do mayonnaise.
You got to get supplies before you get high for the first time. Definitely. I know that now.
Yeah.
But I ate these two giant cheese sandwiches and I had eaten so much, my stomach felt like it was going to explode. It hurt so bad. But I was still hungry.
You still wanted to eat.
I still wanted to
eat. It's a phallic thing. You want something, you just... It's hard to explain.
A phallic thing? So I should have just sucked somebody's cock? Is that what you're telling me?
Someone would enjoy it. A cigarette, anything that would go inside your mouth.
There you go. Okay, I'll have to remember that. If you could suck your own dick, would you swallow?
I don't know. I don't know if I trust that guy.
Yeah, you know what? I know. I don't trust him. I know where he's been.
But I am. I'm curious as to know what other people are tasting.
Yeah,
not just me, but in general, like all the women out there that put that in their
mouth. Does pineapple juice really make your sperm taste good?
I wonder.
Would that be an experiment? Well,
you know, it's not just that, but like
I love pineapple juice.
I heard this interview with Peter North, and he's well known for his large loads amongst the porn industry. And
Taryn's really good. He says they used to shower together.
Yeah, he
I taught him everything he knows.
Well, that's what he showered with. It, you know, there's no water. What are you talking about, Wiener? Apparently, he has a special diet that he sticks to in order to encourage the large loads. One of the things that he said is that lots of celery. So just subsist on a diet of celery and pineapple, and you will have lots of good-tasting jizz, I guess, is the theory here.
It's not worth
it. But the second time I smoked pot, I was living in Seattle at the time, and I drove home afterwards, and I was followed home by every single law enforcement agent in the entire Pacific Northwest. I didn't actually see any of them, but I know they were there.
They're out there.
I know they were there.
That's the paranoia.
They were following me.
Kicking in, yeah. That's...
What, pot makes you paranoid?
Oh, please, yes.
Really? Are you sure about that? Because, you know, I just was sure I was being followed by all the cops in the entire tri-state area.
You know what it is, dude? When that paranoia kicks in, you just be like, nope, my shit don't stink, and you just keep going. Just roll.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, I was really careful driving home. I think I was a better driver on that ride than any time I've ever gotten behind the wheel before or since. Because I was so afraid, you know, worried I'd get pulled over that I was being real careful to stay at the speed limit and watch everything around me.
I drive a 68 bus. I can't go faster than the speed limit.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what? That's
0 to 60 eventually.
That's 0 to 60 eventually.
We can't even punch it to 88 if we wanted to.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a time machine.
Cool. No, yeah,
But when the ladies get in the back, it's a love time machine. Oh, my God.
It's a love machine. A love time machine, by that you mean you're unshaven like it's the 70s, or?
It's got sideburns.
It's got sideburns? Okay, all right. That's good.
It's rocking a new style.
That's right.
Bringing it in. Just sideburns.
In case they get lost, you got to have some, you know, you have just follow the line in. Just follow the line.
You just shave the part right above the shaft so there's no hair to tickle her nose, because that's what they hate the most. But yeah. It's on the sides. It's just like hanging off their cheeks, like they know what it's like to have a beard.
Well, I mean, the last thing you want to do, the girl wants to do while she's giving you a blowjob is floss at the same time.
Two birds. So, one dirty thing, a little more hygienic.
There you go. There you go. No. So you guys are new to the comedy world.
Brand new.
Nick, you performed for the first time Tuesday, is that right?
No, it was that second, was the second time.
Okay, that was the second time. When was the first time?
Starving Artist Bistro again.
The previous Tuesday?
It was like at least maybe a month and a half. It was before the New Year.
Oh, okay. So and it was like you went for the first time, and then all of a sudden, hey, what's going on? And they canceled the show over the Christmas, and you're like, I just got started.
Yeah.
Was I that bad? I mean, my God.
He didn't shut it down.
I shut it down. Oh, my gosh.
He kept it a secret. He didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody. Until a single person, and I went and saw all the stand-up, and I built a rapport with everybody the first time I went. And then I went back the second time. I was talking, and we were like, me and Derek Hayden.
Derek Hayden, yeah.
Hayden, yeah, that's how he pronounced his name. We were talking and we were showing him jokes. He's like, dude, you're funny, you should go up. And I was like, nah, nah. And I was kind of drinking. He's like, dude, I just wrote your name up. You're last, you're going up, you're headlining. And I was like, oh shit, first show and I'm headlining. And so I pounded like three more comedians went up, and after each one, I pounded another drink. And then by the time I got up there, dude, I was just like,
couldn't remember any of your jokes.
For a minute there, I was like, I started out strong, and I was like, I got a couple losses. I was like, all right. And then I kind of got nervous halfway through. So I pulled out my phone, I was looking on my phone, reading them, but then everyone was staring at me, looking at my phone. I was like, don't worry, I'm just texting this bitch. She wants the D. I'm going to give it to her. You know, like, and then put it back in, and I was like fresh right there. And, you know, it's like I had some.
You know, I think I remember that.
Yeah. You should have repeated your I put the D in Rod joke from the opening set. I had to. Because you do a callback, which is what I like most about your set.
I do a lot of callbacks in there, yeah. It's not small, it's cute, yeah.
And it was the third one with the ring, about the ring. That's when I cracked up.
That whole Vegas story is absolutely true. Every bit of it happened.
And I turned over to him at the bar. I was like, nice callback. That was a nice callback.
Yeah. Well, I like callbacks. They make me smile. I do like four callbacks on my 77% joke. I don't know if you guys heard that one, but I read this article that women make on average only 77% of what a man makes for doing the exact same job. And you know what that tells me is to only hire women. I mean, if they're willing to do the same work for less money, it makes good economic sense.
One, yes.
And then I have the call back about only giving 77 cents to female homeless people. And then the corporate CEO that stole $100 million, if they'd hired a woman, she would have only stolen $77 million. And a couple of others. But you're having way too much fun with all this smoke there.
Yeah, that's what he does, that's man. That's what he does. Like
it's my vaporizer.
Blows O's and
blows.
These guys are unconventional pot smokers, if I can call it that, because they don't have the bong. They don't have the joints. No. They don't have any of that other stuff. They've got this little bottle with the dropper in it.
Oh, this isn't weed.
Oh, that's not weed? No, oh, okay.
This is just straight nicotine. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I assumed that was just.
We stick to bongs.
I would be ashamed.
Okay. I was going to say
that you think that we've been smoking this much.
I don't know.
Right in front of you. And they've been straight nonstop.
That's too much for the biggest pothead.
Well, I'm addicted to secondhand smoke, so I was actually enjoying it. But so this is just some kind of flavored tobacco or something?
Yeah, it's put on there, flavored tobacco. It's just flavored, like, chemicals and things that are
not
give us cancer, but probably do other things.
What is the theory on this being better for you? That it's not burning, so it's not going to.
It's not cancer, but it's still nicotine, so you're still going to get like restricted blood vessels.
There's bad stuff in the cigarettes, like the carcinogens and all that stuff. It's all in the filter, and so we know cigarettes kill me. This is still going to kill me, but mystery is half the fun. I think. So
okay.
I understand it for the long run.
Here's the thing: is that everyone is going to die of something.
Yeah.
So the it's there's no point in trying to be healthy to live forever, because you're not gonna.
I'm gonna.
So the key,
Nick is
gonna. Yeah. The key is to figure out what sort of a death you think you can handle, and then arrange your lifestyle accordingly. Like, I'm pretty sure that I couldn't deal with chemotherapy and cancer. So no cigarettes for me. Heart attack is really the way to go. So my 401k is a high cholesterol diet.
Nice.
I figure I'll die of a heart attack before I have to worry about it. And with the way the stock market's going anyways, the 401k would be worthless by the time I got to 65 anyways.
Pretty much. I'm just now getting into like having to get my own insurance. And I got to say, being an adult really sucks.
Yeah, really kind of. It does.
A lot of paperwork, a lot of confusion, a lot of we don't accept this, you filled that out wrong, a lot of checks. I mean, checks are outdated. We don't need to write checks.
Yeah, I don't mean to be getting into politics. I don't know how into that you guys are, but with the Affordable Care Act, you know, the mandate that you must buy health insurance. I was in the Navy for 8 years, and I get my health care through the VA. But if I did not, I would simply pay the fine rather than buy health insurance, because I quite frankly don't trust the insurance companies to actually cover me when I get sick. You know, if something minor happens, it'll cost less than the insurance would. And if something major happens, they're gonna find an excuse to not cover me, and then I'm gonna die anyways, thinking I shouldn't have given them $150 a month for my entire life.
My insurance was great, but I never like pushed it to the brink.
Yeah,
I just like my insurance because
the agent is hot. Admit it, the agent is hot. She's smoking hot.
I've never met. Oh, okay. Agent.
I met him. I think he's kind of
cool. He's a cute guy.
He's a cutie.
Oh, hey, sounds like a dude. Yeah. Jake from State Farm. Jake from State Farm.
I'll have to get him on the podcast next week. Oh, hey, well, we're going to take a break real quick. This is JT Foreman. I am here with Taryn Django Tarango and Nick the Dick. Not a Faglia, it's a Paglia. Yeah, we are the Bitter Comics, and we will be right back.
Yeah.
This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Taryn Django Tarango and Nick the Dick, not a Faglia to Paglia. We are the Bitter Comics. Nick just took an impressive hit off of the thing. I'm not entirely certain what that is.
Steamroller.
Actually, yeah. I've never heard of a steamroller before.
It was
a mold
that we took of his penis.
Okay.
I gave it to him 1 year for his birthday.
He's got a straight, smooth cock.
It's
impressive.
These nubs here, I need to get checked out.
Yeah, you probably should get the nubs. How about the huge divot? It looks like someone took an ice cream scooper.
I'm uncircumcised. Yeah.
It looks like someone took an ice cream scooper to the side of your cock with the divot in there.
It's like, you know, those dermal implants people get? I got the opposite.
Okay.
It's so gross. Dermal implants.
Okay.
It's a new invention.
See, usually they have to learn how to breathe through their nose, but with him, it's just snorkel. Nick, he can just snorkel his cock.
If there's anything to say about my friend Nick, he really cares about women, and he cares about how they feel when they're going down on him.
Yes. So, well, you know, that's good.
I want to help him out.
Considerate. He'll brush their hair with his hand without grabbing a handful. You know, he's very considerate. You know, you really should be nice to anyone who has your penis in their mouth, frankly.
I agree.
Seriously.
I agree.
What do you do when they ask you to slap them?
You don't hit them at the top and bottom of their head at the same time.
Not.
Remove penis. Side. Step two, slap.
Nope. Mm-hmm. If they ask for it, like, wow. While you're choking them, it's happened, dude. I've had weird questions.
I do not have experience.
Well, you know, it's important to have marketable skills.
Gosh, hope no girl ever that knows me hears this. I'm going to be real.
Well, you didn't say which of them. It was probably Megan. But
that was a fake name.
Megan. No, okay.
It's a fake name.
That's why I said it was probably Megan. I assumed it was a fake name.
Yeah. His name was Mark.
His name is Mark. You know, someone told me about this website called trickbus.com. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
What they do is they got the bus and they got the camera and a dude in there driving and a really, really, really hot chick. And they find some good looking guy out on the beach somewhere and they get him into the bus or into the van. They're like, hey, we're doing trick bus. We're doing this, we're doing this porn on the street thing, and you know, we're gonna pay you, and this girl's gonna suck your dick, and we're gonna record it, put it on our website. So you know, we'll pay you whatever amount. And you know, of course, the guy's like, all right, cool, yeah, it's hot chick's gonna give me a blowjob, that's awesome. So then he say, okay, well, we're gonna put a blindfold on you though. You know, that's the thing, the website, and we do blindfold. And he's like, all right. So the girl puts the blindfold on him. And then steps back, and the dude sitting in the passenger seat of the van comes over and sucks his dick. And partway through...
I'm glad I didn't find this looking it up.
Yeah, he immediately stopped looking it up.
And partway through, they'll be like, all right, take the blindfold off. He takes the blindfold and freaks out.
Oh, my God.
And then they try to talk him into, we're going to pay you, and you finish, and then you can still have the night with this girl, but you got to finish with the dude.
I would be irate. Like, they messed me up for life. Like, that's... Even if you're fine, then like, I'm fine, you guys.
Yeah, here's the
great
thing.
Like,
if anyone,
5 years later, you're going to have some problems.
Well, you know, yeah, it's going to make you ask questions you really don't want to answer.
He sucked my dick?
Well, you know, here's the thing.
It's like, he's already like, all right, I'm going to sign the release form so I can have sex on film. I can never be the president of the United States.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Why not? Well, it just didn't work out in your favor. Sometimes you got to pay to play.
Yeah,
you know what?
He was walking on a sidewalk and got in a van to have his dick sucked by some porn star.
Kind of deserves what he gets.
He had nothing going on in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he wasn't exactly, you know, the next Brad Pitt or anything. It's like, if you get to that point, it's like, yeah, you know, you got the looks, but you just didn't have the skill. You're on the beach.
Yeah.
You're on the beach at 1 p.m. during the week. Okay, you don't have anything going on. But you know,
he's a lifeguard. Four people died that day.
Yeah, probably right. Probably right.
I don't know, man. Maybe you should have just came in that dude's face, like, fuck.
Yeah, four people died that day. One of them was the dude that was sucking his dick. I wonder if I didn't look that much into the website because I didn't want to pay whatever it cost to join. But I wonder if any dude freaked out and started beating on the guy or anything.
Yeah, be careful, man. Someone will try to murder you, dude.
Yeah.
Homophobes out there just think the worst and just automatically see red.
What was it like in the 80s or something on Jenny Jones talk show? Your friend has something he wants to reveal to you, and the dude's like, "I'm homosexual. I'm in love with you. I've been in love with you for years." And then after the show, out in the parking lot, the dude killed him. Yeah, I think that was on Jenny Jones.
Is that why Jenny Jones got canceled?
I imagine so. This happened like in the early 90s or late 80s or something.
I remember the 90s was terrible, and I would see that show on TV, and they'd be like, bring people out, and everybody in the audience had a number card, and they would grade people on the stage, and I was like, this looks terrible. And then it got to emotes, where it was just a happy face, sad face. And, oh, man, I'm glad the 90s are over.
Yeah, well, I was in the Navy from 90 to 98. And that was during the original "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" stuff when that was going on. So there was like some severe paranoia about you're homosexual because I was still a virgin, some people assumed I must be gay. And one thing they don't understand about the homosexual lifestyle is that if you're being gay, it's a lot easier to get laid than being a straight dude.
Well, and they it's like bred confidence.
Yeah.
They're the most confident people. Yeah. And I could, you're big, but you're cuddly. You're very
warm. I'm kind of
cuddly.
For God's
sake, you brought us chocolates.
If they're
open. I brought you chocolates that I made.
Which I'm still going to make you talk about.
Yeah.
Like the chocolates.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about the chocolates, but. Yeah.
So I could you in the army, like it's just
Navy
I picture.
Don't disrespect the man.
I picture the military. I picture everybody in there just being super tough and angry, and like if you're tough, well, it's almost like
angry.
High school.
Yes.
Like if
you're angry, yes.
If you can hold your own, then they want you to be a part of their crowd.
Well, you know, here's the thing: is that the environment actually did seem to me a lot like high school, because it was all cliquish like that, and the cool people, and I was still the dork, and a lot of it, honestly,
the Navy SEALs.
Well, I don't know about any of that. I never bumped into those guys, but just the people I was stationed with.
If you saw them, then they're not doing their job.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or they might have been hiding right in front of you. You never knew.
it felt like a high school environment, especially the first ship I was on. The USS Puget Sound, it was a repair ship, 1,600 person crew. There was about 600 women on board, and if you,
dudes, that's not good odds.
Yeah, if you believe how everyone talked, I was the only guy not getting laid all the time, and I would see people we'd go overseas for 6 months for a med cruise, and I would see married people married to other people couple up for the 6 months we're out. And then as soon as we got back, they don't even say goodbye. They just go back to their spouse when we get back to the States. And, that was the understanding. It's like, while we're out, this is, they're a couple. And when they get back, they go back to their own families. Crazy. That wasn't real common, but it did happen.
No, and I knew it happened, but it's just, you never get like a reassurance. Yeah.
Well, there were bars that had reputations as being where the med crew's widows hung out. Which, guy's on a 6 month med cruise. His wife is the med cruise widow, and alone for 6 months. There's a reason the Navy had like a 80% divorce rate or something crazy like that. But anyway,
when kids out of high school get married and then join the military, I'm like, oh, that's never gonna last.
Yeah, that's not gonna work. It's definitely not gonna work. Yeah, I knew this one guy. He was friends with a girl who was in, and she got out of the Navy. And there's additional pay that you get if you're married, extra allowances you receive because you get to live off base, and they give you a housing allowance to pay for that and all that, and they made she's like, hey, well, I mean, I'm single, you're single, I'm we're just friends. You want to get married just so you can get paid that extra money, because it was several hundred dollars a month. And so they got married. We go on a 6 month med cruise. We come back. His bank account's been drained. His car's gone, and the houses, and everything is so he's trying to pull I guess he was trying to they're pulling a scam, and she just took everything But I knew some people who were in legitimate marriages that we get back from the 6 month med cruise, and you know the wife or the husband on a couple of occasions took that opportunity to just take everything and bail, you know, during the time they were gone.
Week after this podcast was released,
it's a good thing we're talking about
unidentified bodies.
Yeah, good thing we're talking about this on a comedy podcast. Cause everything up.
I got real serious.
Yeah,
it's got deep.
Do you guys ever consider joining the military?
I did at one point, just because, like, I'm sure in high school I had the weird upbringing. I'm sure that you had. You know, I was always the outcast kid, and so coming up through high school, I always considered joining the military, just because I feel like there's something called like a buddy system or something, where if you joined with a friend, they would make sure you're in the same.
Moving closer to the mic.
Oh yeah, sorry.
You go in. It's buddy. It's the buddy system. You go in with a friend. You do boot camp together, basically. And then
you can. The services allow that too. Yeah.
I signed up for the Navy, and they wouldn't take me because I had childhood asthma, and I didn't lie about it because I was like, if I go south of the equator and some crazy tropical fruit kills me, I'm gonna be pissed. It's an allergy that brings up like 13-year-old asthma. Like, fuck this.
And it'd be the weirdest fruit nobody's ever heard of. It'd be on your ground.
Yeah.
Killed by a cicada.
Yeah.
Nick Spaglia, quit smoking today.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It was rough. I didn't exactly enjoy my time, but a lot of it was my own bad attitude. You know, it wasn't only me, but it was me too. But I am really glad that I did serve. Just the best thing about the fact that I've been in the military is anytime I get into an argument with someone over war or any of that kind of military related political arguments, I don't have to listen to anyone try to say to me, "Well, you never served, so you don't know what you're talking about." And the second best part is I actually get to pull that bullshit line on other people. So
I serve my country. That's all right.
I serve my country.
And
what
I didn't
done?
Get laid once.
Yeah.
Did that for you.
I did that for you and your
country. Did that for you.
America.
That's right.
I left this country when I got back. You know how they started spelling America? NASCAR. NASCAR.
If I could have found, not at this point, hell no. Yeah. But if I could have found a cool dude to join with, I was considering it, but
Get a boyfriend already.
No, I discovered improv and got my first laugh and kind of just stuck on that.
Oh, do you do improv? Are you guys from here in Fresno?
Yeah. But we didn't grow up together or anything. We kind of just met
in college or something.
Yeah,
or
like right after high school. Just
okay.
About 18 or 19. But through high school, I discovered improv. I started hanging out with like the play stuff and helped building sets and.
I really regret that I didn't get into theater when I was in high school, junior high.
Well, you know, the trick was if you do something like that, which I learned in elementary school because I was in choir, you don't have to do like PE or like any thing that'll make you sweat and pant as a fat little kid.
Yeah.
So I was always finding loopholes. And so, I was in choir for 7 years all the way through into middle school and got into theater. And it just gets you out of a lot of stuff. It gives you open periods.
Yeah.
So I did it for the lack of school. And
Well, there you go.
And then it turned out to be fun.
Cool. Yeah, I do wish it. Yeah, I played like a pumpkin in the school play when I was in second grade or something, and that's the extent of my acting experience.
The extent of my acting experience, I did when I was in the second grade. We did my class did a musical, and it was Little Mermaid, and we sang the Under the Sea song. We all made costumes that we painted up out of paper, and they're stapled together and you stapled them on. And it was just this big puffy thing full of goddamn puffy thing full of paper, and you just dance there. It's like under the sea, under the sea.
Cool.
That sounds great.
So what was your first acting experience?
I've actually, like, even when I was playing with improv, I never got on stage.
I'm going to use theater to get out of anything, but I'll just be the set guy.
Up as, like, somebody's writing partner. I mean, if I can sense that you're writing something, I want to know what it is. Actually how I met you.
Yeah.
We got stuck outside when we all did our introduction showing up to Starving Artists. You said movie.
You don't want to be the big actor. You just want to be in the entourage.
Kind of. I want to. Yeah. Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Cool.
I want to contribute.
And there you go. He helps out. Like half the jokes I tell.
And that's how we. Like, you know, it all started with our buddy Derek Pennington. He'd always text us the dumbest, cleanest jokes he could possibly think of, and then it just went between the three of us who could make each other laugh the most. Mm. And then Nick here started writing them down, and so I think for the last 1 to 3 years, I don't know how long it's been going on, but we've just been cataloging.
I just started writing them down last like 6 months. I don't know. We'll see. Hold on. When's the first time I wrote them down? We'll
move into the mics.
Oh,
sorry.
Sorry, it's all right.
So he started writing down the jokes, and
just
we
copy
always
paste into my notes.
Joked about, you know, we're all gonna do stand up one day, and he did it.
I did it without telling anybody.
Well, yeah, anytime I think of a new one liner or whatever, I just put it up on Twitter right away.
Oh man,
so you know, I think I have like 410 tweets right now. So you know, I don't just tweet every little bitty thing. Oh yeah, I'm having eggs for breakfast or whatever. That's.
I like to. I don't know. I don't like to tell. Put all my jokes out and stuff. Like, I made a reference to telling jokes when I went out this past Tuesday.
Yeah.
On I was like, oh, I'm gonna tell some jokes tonight, and my little brother immediately writes up on there, too bad you're not funny. But in a reference to a joke about drawing, I wrote, well, at least I can draw. And then right after that, my grandma goes, you sure can draw, Nick. Great, you're great. Love you.
Oh, yeah, grandma's on here. I forgot about that. I got to be careful when I'm
here.
It's like, oh, okay. All right. You know, you're like, you see the post from grandma when you're like halfway through the profanity filled tirade that your little nephew is like, you fucking little twerp, I'm gonna kick your ass next time. And then you see your grandma's like, oh yeah, you're such a great drawer. It's like delete. We're gonna take a break again real quick. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Taryn Tarango and Nick Sapaglia. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with Taryn Tarango and Nick Sapaglia. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right. So we kind of teased at the candy that I made.
Scrumptious. So good.
It was pretty good. I'm very proud of myself.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Christmas Day, I went to a Christmas party at my girlfriend's friend's house, and they did the steal a gift thing. You know, everyone brings one gift, and we're told $25 limit. And then, you know, it takes a number. You can either pick a gift or you can steal something from someone else. Now, I think they messed up the rules because they didn't outlaw take backs.
Stealing's just wrong.
Yeah. So, like, someone would take a gift and then the person would take it right back from them. Anyway, because stuff got stolen back and forth all crazy, I ended up with my own gift back. So, the gift that I brought was a gift certificate for See's Candy. And you know, half of the people brought a gift card of some kind. I thought that was pretty hilarious. It's like there's a stack of boxes next to a stack of envelopes on the table. And everybody who decided to pick instead of stealing something went right at the envelopes every time.
I would too.
Anyway, I'm at See's Candy. I'm looking at their regular prices, like $17.50 a pound. And whenever I see something that seems overpriced like that, I start wondering if I could make it. So I went to the internet, found a recipe for milk chocolate buttercream candies, and I made some candy. And it came out really well. The first batch I did, I didn't have the right kind of mixer. So, you know, you have to have one of those slow mixers with the paddle, like the KitchenAid thing. And, you know, I just had this big sort of blender thing. But so it didn't really mix right, and then I ended up throwing that away. The second batch, I put too much powdered sugar into it because I confused ounces with fluid ounces.
Oh, jeez.
So instead of...
How could you do that?
Well, the package says 32 ounces of powdered sugar.
Rule number one.
And
that's too much.
The recipe says 4 cups. And I'm thinking, well, a cup is 8 fluid ounces. That's 32 fluid ounces. The package says 32 ounces. Okay, one package of powdered sugar. No. It seems 32 ounces of powdered sugar is actually like 7.5 cups. So I used almost twice as much powdered sugar as I was supposed to. And then the third batch came out really well. But melting the chocolate is a pain in the ass.
It is a pain in the ass.
You have to melt it really slow. I ended up using a double boiler is what everyone tells me it's called. I boiled some water, put it in a big bowl, and then put the chocolate chips in a little bowl and put that in the water.
Yep.
That's what I called it. But everyone calls it a double boiler.
Just like
and
that.
Then you know, mixing the powdered sugar in so that the buttercream comes out really creamy. You have to put it in real slow. But yeah, candy came out great. This last batch I made, I did it with white chocolate instead of milk chocolate because when I was describing,
you found out Taryn's racist. Yeah. So
no, sorry guys. Yeah, well, you know, white is the superior chocolate color.
It really is. It really is so pretty.
So
pristine. It's pristine. Yeah. It's clean.
Now, you know, my buddy Terry was giving me a hard time about making the chocolate because I was telling his fiance, you know, the recipe and how I made it, and he's like, "Dude, you sound really gay right now." And I said, "Well, you know what? Just to make it even gayer, next time I'm going to make it with white chocolate instead of dark chocolate." So, because but yeah, candy came out great. Actually,
it's gone. If that's any consolation,
yeah, it
demolished.
It was pretty good. Yeah.
Last Thursday at the comedy show I went to at Bottoms Up, I brought some candy with me and I was selling it for $1 for two pieces, and I sold like $7 selling my candy to people. But so you know, I'll make some money selling candy now. It's like, yeah, Mitch Hedberg had this joke. He's like, you know, I was at the grocery store and I saw they had six packs of Coke for like 29 cents, and when you see something priced that low, you start thinking you could sell Coke. So I'd be like, hey buddy, you want some Coke? It's just $1 a can. It's hot, though, because this is a half-assed commitment.
I love Mitch Hedberg, man.
Yeah, Mitch Hedberg's great.
Mitch Hedberg is great.
First album, when I first got that first album, it had that that like jazz bass line all the way through the entire set.
Yeah.
That was good. Oh, man.
Any jokes you don't like, he wrote them for me.
Yeah, he's the one who said... a fly was almost called a land because that's what it does the other 50% of the time.
Yeah.
I think most of them are obviously funny because they're dumb. But my favorite was so obscure. It was something like, I came home and there's a koala. Came home and a koala's running everywhere when I turn on the lights. And I have an infestation of koala bears. It's the cutest infestation ever. I said, why do you have to run from me, koala bear? Why don't you let me hold you, feed you a leaf? Oh, it's the funniest joke I've ever heard.
One of my favorite things doing comedy, going to open mics, is when I see a comedian do a new joke and it hits, and I see the look on their face.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I see a comedian, I hear him do a new joke, and I'm mad that I didn't think of it first.
Oh yeah.
Totally. There's this one guy, it's Paolo Martin, and he has this one bit. He says, slugs are just homeless snails.
Oh, I've heard that. Yeah.
And I want to kill him so I can take his joke. Yeah. it's hilarious. I'm not actually going to kill him.
That's why I'm having such a good week. Because like you said, seeing a comedian use a new joke and it's a win for them.
You can tell it's new because he got that smile on their face.
What it was like for me.
That's great.
This guy's up on stage performing some jokes that I wrote. Yeah. And
so, Taryn, you're Nick's writing partner.
You
yourself have decided not to actually go up on stage.
No.
And perform.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
I almost did. Because Nick's thing are funny one-liners, and I write these long bits.
I really dig like the little one-liner, like clean jokes, just anything that's silly. And sometimes, you know, I talk inappropriately. You know, I just. And sometimes, like, I get nervous and just start saying curse words.
But it worked.
But I don't know. Everyone says it doesn't look like you're nervous.
Looking at all the jokes,
I just kind of go up with a chill attitude, like. Yeah. Fuck, I don't care.
Looking on his phone, I saw, that's 5 minutes of material. Maybe I should get up there.
Well, the nervousness is harder to tell than it is to feel. Yeah. I mean, when you feel the nervousness even a little bit, you can feel it. But someone's got to be so nervous that they're visibly shaking before you can tell just looking at them, especially when you're away on stage and it's kind of dark in the room. And
I feel like my demeanor's cool when I go up. I don't feel like I'm... Because there's a couple times that just the... few times that I've been out, I've seen like a couple people be comfortable on stage telling their jokes, but at the same time, I've seen other ones going up there like remembering their jokes, but not but it's kind of nervous to where they're not presenting them the way they are. Like, I feel like I speed up. Like if I speed up real bad.
What was impressive about Tuesday, your tempo. Like you stayed calm even when you were forgetting your material.
Yeah,
you kept it going.
Yeah, that is the thing. When you're nervous, you have a tendency to go faster.
And I almost threw up sitting at the bar watching.
And I was pumped because, like,
Taryn started clapping once, and it was just like on a joke, and it was just like, oh, a little applause break. But it, I was like, oh, but it's only Taryn like giving it's me support. Taryn. But then there's like two other guys just started going like, yeah, it just yeah.
turned into an applause.
And then everyone just started laughing. And I was just like, oh.
You had a good like three or four like breaks, applause breaks, and I was jealous.
It was good.
He's just there, so he shows up just for immoral support.
That was the first time. Yeah, that was only my second time going.
The first
on.
Time you went, I woke up to a text because I wake up at like 6 a.m. I gotta go to work, and I woke up to a text saying I performed some of your jokes last night, and I freaked out all day. I was like, I'm a writer. You guys, I'm a writer.
I figured like I was like,
no one's made any money yet,
and I wait, and like I hadn't gone back until this time, and I was just thinking about it like, man, should I just try to do it again? And then I was like, all right, and I was like, I'll call Taryn, he's got to go because I'm gonna tell some of his jokes. It was fun.
Nick, the first time you performed, you just went by yourself, you didn't tell anybody you knew. And it went well, so then you texted Taryn and told him that you had stolen some of his material.
It's just like, we always just discussed.
He did steal a couple.
I stole them, but it's like I give him credit.
Ones that were mine that told him, like, this is my opener.
Yeah.
And then even...
here's the thing, he didn't go on.
Yet. About a minute before he went on Tuesday, after he decided to use my opener, I wrote that when I was like 19, by the way. Yeah.
How old are you guys now?
I'm 26.
26 and
26.
20. Okay, nice. Both 26. Yeah. Sorry.
And when I knew that he was going to use my opener, and I was thinking of doing 5 minutes, I was like, I need to think of a new opener. Everybody's talking about the girlfriend, so I'll go up there and say, you know, everybody's talking about the girlfriend. I feel like I should dress mine. She's never around, mainly because she's imaginary, and that's going to be my opener. And you actually used that halfway into your set, and a part of me was pissed. But the other part of me was so happy that it was like, I wrote that joke a minute ago, and it just got a big laugh.
Yeah.
And it was such a good night for me.
I saw this this video. There's a lot of videos. People, anti-bullying has become a big thing in the past few years.
Yeah, it's like when...
I wish someone would have thought of this back when I was in high school.
It's like the new above the influence.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's like the new above the influence.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Don't do drugs. Don't bully. Don't do anything, kids. Stop. Yeah. Stop.
Just play video games.
There's a TED talk that this woman did. She has some sort of a syndrome where she can't gain weight, and she's like 24 or something years old. She's an adult now. She weighs like 60-ish pounds, and she talks about she just eats tons and tons of food, but she just can't gain weight. And in the TED talk, it describes her as, you know, the world's ugliest woman. Talks about how she defeated her bullies. And she refers to herself as the world's ugliest woman in the thing. But that's what she's like known as. But you know, I have to say that I'm looking at the picture, and I think she's kind of hot.
I'm gonna find this world's skinniest woman.
I like skinny chicks.
That's not your word.
She's got beautiful hair. She has a great smile and really nice eyes.
We're gonna find
if it weren't for the fact that I'm engaged. Instead of bullying her, I would sexually harass her.
Well, you know, it sounds like she has very low self-esteem.
So she's good esteem now. I mean, she went up and did a TED talk about how she dealt with bullies. You know,
is it this one?
Ugh, no, it can't be.
I don't know.
That's not her.
Is it that one?
I'll put a link to the TED talk. No, I don't think that was her.
It's not. That is not. I would lose respect for
that's
you
not how she was dressed at the time, but I think that was her.
No, that girl's
I like skinny kids. I like
she's
skinny
going
chicks.
For world's ugliest woman. Like, she's competing. That's a pose.
Well, you know, I just...
That's a professional headshot.
Get this,
pose.
Guys.
They get lipo. They have liposuction clinics, and if she can't gain weight, just have them...
Put it in.
I don't know if that would work, but you know, medically, it's something we should think about.
You pay for the surgery, I'll give you my fat for liposuction.
There you go.
I just got a little.
No, sorry, I'm making soap out of all of my fat.
Fight Club. What's the first rule?
We don't talk about Fight Club.
No, that's the second rule. What's the first one?
We don't talk about Fight Club.
Oh, that's right.
Both of you guys are breaking some rules.
I remember when Fight Club was at the out in the theater. As I go up on stage, and I was really original. I was like, "Welcome to Comedy Club. The first rule about Comedy Club is we do not talk about Comedy Club."
You're the first guy. The
second
first.
Rule about Comedy Club is we do not talk about Comedy Club. Third rule, I've got a homework assignment for you. I want you to go home this week. I want you to tell somebody a joke, and if they don't laugh, you beat the shit out of them. But, you know, and I only did that one time, and then over the course of the next week, I saw like four other comics do a Fight Club joke just like that. So
you're
the first. No, I'm sure I was not the first.
As far as the first person I saw do it.
But it counts. Yeah, I'm positive I'm not the first. Anyway, we're going to take a break again real quick. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Taryn Tarango and Nick Sapaglia. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. I do think she's hot. I do. I'm sorry.
Instagram.
This is JT Foreman. I am here with Taryn Tarango and Nick Sapaglia. We are the Bitter Comics, and we are back. All right, so... Nick, you had an adventure recently. Why don't you tell us about that?
I did. Been just random trip out of out up into Yosemite.
Okay.
We walked up and hiked up to the top of the falls and just passed there a few miles and camped out overnight and woke up with Yosemite, like just all there in the morning and just hung out for a while. And
falls, one of the most originally named geographic spectacles in the world. It's... What do we call this? Well, the water's falling. Let's call it a falls.
In the falls, a waterfalls.
Oh, cool. So, did you consider this like a spiritual experience
it
or
was.
Something? Or?
Yeah, it definitely was. You know, took some photos.
Oh, cool.
You know, that's what I woke up to.
Just Sapaglia. So you're Sapaglia on Instagram?
Sapaglia on Instagram, yeah.
Okay, I'll put a link in the show notes to that.
Oh,
so.
Cool. Nice, yeah.
I'll get
it's
it.
It's Sapaglia.
After the show, Nick.
Well, you can plug it too. That's fine. Sapaglia.
Yeah.
Ladies.
Also got a Twitter. It's up a what?
You have a Twitter?
I do have a Twitter. Oh, I think I have like 6 followers.
Do you put your crazy weird things on Twitter when you
think
of them?
No, I don't use it because I don't know anybody on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, see, actually, here's the trick to getting Twitter followers. You go find someone who you know who has a lot of followers or someone who's in a similar kind of situation as you. Like for me, I go to Kevin Tinkins because he's another Fresno comic.
Okay.
And I go to his followers and I just start following them. And I usually get follow backs.
Oh, that works.
So. But that's the thing. It's like I don't like to follow a bunch of random shit.
Yeah,
I like
What you could do is follow them and
get the follow back. And
wait like a couple of weeks when they won't notice and unfollow them.
I get irritated with the feed, like especially on Instagram where it's just
see
a bunch of shit. Like I don't know that. I don't know that person's baby.
That person just liked 25 of my pictures in 2 minutes.
You know, I gotta say following like 1,800 people is really annoying on Facebook because there's a lot of stuff in there that if someone were trying to put something on Twitter for me to see, I'm not going to catch it.
No, never. Oh, that's a great one.
You know, it makes for me for me wanting to to see the things other people tweet. It's useless.
Yeah.
There's so many things go by. You know. Hundreds of them a day. I don't have time to do that. You know, if you were receiving 100, 200 letters in the mail every single day, you would just throw them all in the trash. But for some reason, we spend hours a day going through our Twitter and our email, and I don't know how they talked us into doing that. But all right, so on your Instagram, you got a bunch of pictures that you took while you're up in Yosemite. I'll be sure to put a link to, like I said, I'll be sure to put a link to your Instagram in the show notes so people can check that out.
Yeah, it's just a little bit about me. And I don't know. I guess it's just every fucking random person's like Instagram kind of thing.
Yeah,
selfies, different stuff. You know, things I'm into. You know,
No dick pics.
No. Instagram maybe actually, if you guys look hard enough, you might see some dick.
It's very small. You have to look very close.
It is very small, but it's a pretty good photo.
No, there you go.
You have to use a magnogram to
magnify.
It's
not small, it's cute.
It's not small, it's cute.
Hey, call back to a comedy show we did three days ago. It's just too bad that nobody out there listening has any idea what we're talking about.
No, they don't.
Well, I've got one thing I do definitely want to make sure I plug before we go is I've got a show coming up on February 8th, this is going to be my first ever headlining gig. I'm actually going to do 45 minutes.
Oh,
this will be a fun experience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The show's on February 8th. That's a Saturday night at the Coffee Lounge in Fresno. Myself, opening is going to be Audrey Crescenti, and the feature act is Kevin Tinkin, and hosting the show is Fresno comedy legend Boney Beasley.
Woo!
Ooh. He's in a group called the Argyle Pimps, which
love the Argyle Pimps.
They do. Do you know the
Argyle? Argyle Pimps.
Yeah. Boney's with them, and the cool Argyle Pimps. Here's what I love about that. It's not just that they do funny / parody rap songs. They sample from music out of the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you listen to rap nowadays, you'll get people sampling out of the 80s and 70s and 60s maybe. But these guys, they pull their samples out of the 20s and 30s. That's just kind of awesome. It's amazing hearing a rock song in front of a big band.
Yeah.
it's hilarious. bitches.
It's good background music.
Yeah, Argyle Pimps. It's awesome. I'll try to find a link to some of their stuff and put put that in the show notes as well.
They are good.
That show, like you said, February 8th at shows at 7 p.m. You can get tickets at livemusiccity.com.
We're on the list, and then I'll.
It's only $7.50 or $10 at the door, nice. I'm actually paying all the other comics too. Which is
out of your own pocket?
Based on my experience, is a rare thing.
Yeah,
where the comics here are actually gonna get paid for doing the show,
well, especially in Fresno. So, that's unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, if the show sells out and the place is small, it's only got 40 seats. If the show sells out, I'll end up making
some money.
Probably the same that I'm paying the host in the well, feature act.
Breaking even is,
and plus exactly. I'm doing all this legwork doing the stuff. But you know, really, that I want to try to record the show so I can put an album together. And my master plan actually is, you know, people, they make an album, they put it out on a CD. I actually want to get a bunch of small flash drives and put an MP3 genius. And sell the album on
That's
that instead.
Really smart.
And you know, and then I can put some other files on there as well. You know, like, you know, my bio, maybe some other info. You know, links to my website, stuff like that.
I speak for everybody in America when I say I'm going to lose that flash drive. Well,
you better put a keychain on it. You better put a keychain on it.
My dissertation was on that fucking thing.
Well, see, you got to make sure the flash drive is big enough that it's useful outside of just having that thing on it. Because if it's, you know, if I go cheap and get the 128 megabyte megabyte flash drives, you know, it's barely got enough room for
your porn.
My porn. And so, you know, people, they may or may not download the thing off of it, and then they'll throw it away. But if I'm selling it on 2 gig flash drives and have it a keychain thing, that might be big enough that people will just attach it to their keychain and keep it. And now I'll make sure I get it engraved with, you know, JT Foreman and in my website or something. So so now they're carrying around my advertisement for the rest of my life, for the rest of their life,
or the life of that drive,
or the life of the drive anyway, which will probably be about 6 months considering how these promotional items usually last. But anyway, yeah, that's I'm really looking forward to doing that. I've I went to their open mic last Friday, and after the show, the owner of the place asked me if I'd be interested in doing a show. So
that's rad.
Just kind of accidentally stumbled into it.
Yeah, I got forced. Awesome, it was like a comedy rape for my first time.
Comedy rape.
Derek Hayden.
Derek, he's funny too. Yeah. I was kind of bummed that
he's all right.
People started talking, and like the club got kind of loud when he was up there doing his set.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just met him that night, so I was kind of looking forward to all your guys.
He's there every week, and he's still new, so he doesn't have a whole lot of material. I'm not saying this as a criticism.
Yeah.
When I was as new at comedy as he is, I didn't have more than 5 minutes either. So every time I went up, I was doing the exact same 5 minutes. And, you know, if you're going to the same place every week, well, the audience has already heard all your stuff. So, and that's probably why that kind of thing had happened. And like I said, I'm not criticizing Derek. I mean, you know, nobody writes a new 5 minutes to do at every single open mic they go to. If you did, that would be amazing if a person
we
could
did.
Maintain.
I wrote a joke 30 seconds before stage time, and it got huge laughs. But that's just me. I don't want people to compare themselves to
me. But you're the greatest, though, so that's the thing. Is,
but, the greatest of mediocrity ever had. Yeah. I feel like the guy who hosted that night made a joke just for me. Because
William Lushbaum.
I was out front smoking a cigarette. He ran out as fast as he possibly could, right by me, out into the darkness of the parking lot.
and then came running back 5 minutes later, and then rushed right by me, and I was like, it kind of smelled like weed. And then he went up on stage. He was like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I have to make a service announcement. And I thought he was like, please don't talk, because it was right after Derek said.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, we can't smoke pot in the parking lot, you guys. We cannot be smoking pot in the parking lot. And I just started laughing.
Because he has to smoke pot in the parking lot.
Did he do that for me? Because I'm the only one that saw him leave and come back real fast. And yeah, I was cracking up.
Yeah, and of course, in the bit, he's like, because I just finished smoking pot in the parking lot, and we shouldn't be doing that.
See, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he even said that he had done that.
I was checking out. Officer, I was disappointed by the number of potheads in the audience. There's too many.
Yeah.
It's too many. Big pot crowd.
Big pot crowd.
Hey,
what about Mike Hodges, though? That guy. Michael Hodges.
This is Michael Hodges.
Michael Hodges.
Michael Hodges. Who's the...
Is he in the Walker?
He was in the Walker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That guy has the best material I've ever heard.
He does have really good material.
Oh, some good stuff.
But he apparently didn't get the word that you're not supposed to swear.
No, he swore a lot.
He swore a lot. And then
not as much as I did the first time I
was it you who you're not going to kick Cripple off stage?
That was me. I went up right after him and said, you know, I wish I was crippled. And I could say fuck at the start.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, too. You started off with the fuck.
And what's Bob going to do? Kick the cripple guy off stage?
Turned your mic off.
Yeah.
That was a good night.
That was
it was
fun. I had to throw the F-bomb in right at the end. Just like, fucking pop.
Yeah, because you lost your composure.
Well, you know, it's really cool when you can think of something to stay off of the last guy who went up.
Yeah.
You know, this Aaron Stewart has this joke where he talks about he's always running to his ex-girlfriend at all his hangouts. And, you know, she always brings some dude who's, like, better shape than him and makes more money. And he's like, you know, what she ought to do is bring in some dork. You know, and then I'd be see her with this dorky dude who doesn't know how to dress, and it's like, why is she with him and not with me? What the hell? And then I go up on stage right after him, and I was like, actually, I'm not. Hi, I'm JT Foreman. I'm not a comedian. I'm Aaron's ex girlfriend's date. Someone asked me what a dork was. I have no idea. But every once in a while I can come up with something off of the guy who was up just before me to say, and that it makes a great transition into your set, and it, you know, doing a callback like that.
I say it goes back to callback, callbacks.
Yeah,
say so fun. It's both times I was just like, yeah, they're great. They're great. Get ready for bad jokes.
Here I am. That's the spirit. No, man, you had some really good stuff. Actually, I really like the H2O2 joke, but yeah. I don't think people are going to get that every time.
Dude, I don't know, man. I mean, they think...
I was shocked.
But I was shocked when so people happy. Got it, but someone got it, so I won't say it again.
Go do the joke.
It's two guys walk into a bar, and the first guy goes, I'll have an H2O. And the second guy goes, I'll have an H2O2. Second guy died.
See, that is funny. See, H2O2 is hydrogen peroxide, which if you drink that, you will die. So
it's a smart joke.
Yes, it is a smart joke, but I'm really surprised that they got it.
They say some people
got they just H2O2 is different from water. Okay, and then they lie. They assume it was bad.
Like, it was either that or like another edgy rape joke that, you know, that Fresno Christian crowd was not digging, which I was surprised because, I mean, they're, you know, respectable Christians in that area, but I'm surprised they don't like rape jokes, considering their whole religion's foundation is, you know, based upon rape.
Oh my gosh! Mm-hmm. Well, we just found out at least one thing that you'll have to apologize for next time in the podcast.
I would like to apologize to rape.
It's comparison to Christianity.
That's how it all started. Most people praise Jesus. Hey man, that's all rape.
Yeah.
It was.
Oh, she was a virgin.
No, yeah, right. Oh no, honey, stop no, it. I didn't. Nick. I didn't cheat on you. God came down. What was it? Sam Kinison had a bit about that. Is it? You're sure it was
all
God?
I'm saying, did you have any idea?
Oh, he just said he was an angel. Went in the garden. last time I take a job out of town. well, hey, thanks a lot for doing the show. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah.
And
we got a little serious, got a few
I was
going to
say, come find me at Cup of Joy Coffee House.
That's Taryn Turingo. You work at Cup of Joy?
Yeah, Cup of Joy Coffee House in Old Town Clovis.
I was hanging out with Paulo. I met you once.
Paulo, that's how I met. Yeah, I wrote a joke for Paulo. Yeah. I wrote two jokes for Paulo.
Did you write the slug joke?
Because
that was an awesome joke.
No, he was trying to work on me too about bully, and I gave him like a punchline.
Cool.
He said he used it at a couple parties and got some laughs. Oh. And That cool. was cool for me. But also, Terran Talks on YouTube. Eric DBZ is the username. We got to change that because that's really lame. But that's Eric Morris, my old writing partner. We kind of playing with cameras, but
okay, cool.
That's how
cool.
the stand-up started. It was doing Terran Talks, just bantering.
Oh, cool. And Nick Sapaglia, yep. You got anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about?
Oh no, I'll put a link to your Instagram. I was just say that's all I have really is Instagram
me,
and Nick. Twitter.
Plug me as your writer.
Plug me. Plug Terran Turingos.
He plugs Terran.
Plugs Terran.
Plugs Terran all the time.
Looking to write for.
He's
got to
plug him once every time he gets material.
Well, I'm gonna write a screenplay for you. So
I plug him
right for everybody.
Yeah, cool. That's it.
No, I'm JT Foreman. I just want to give the time. It looks like the open mic's going on in Fresno now. There's Audio's Olympic on Monday. That's at 8 o'clock. I believe sign up start at 7:30. Tuesday night's the Starving Artist Bistro starts at 9 o'clock. They will put the sign-up sheet out as soon as the first person shows up and says, where's the sign-up sheet? It's the sign-up sheet. So when you show up, if it's out already, you know, fine. If not, just say, hey, where's the sign-up sheet, and they'll go get one.
Nice.
Wednesday nights at – it was the first and third Wednesday of every month at Scores, but I was there last night, and there was no show. So I don't know – you know, I didn't see any announcement that they're not doing it anymore, but there wasn't one last night, so I don't know what's going on with that.
How are those places? I haven't been there.
Let me. I'm gonna get lost. Thursday night, bottoms up. They're doing at the moment they're doing open mic every Thursday night. Sign up. You know, get there by like 9:15. Talk to Hank, I believe is the guy's name. And then Friday nights at the Coffee Lounge on First and Gettysburg. It's on the northeast corner of First and Gettysburg. I believe that starts at 8 o'clock.
I'm interested to try their espresso.
And that's all the open mics I know of. And, you know, of course, my show on February 8th. So come out. You can get tickets for that on livemusiccity.com. I will have links in the show notes to all of Nick and Taryn's stuff that they'd give me, as well as a link to Live Music City and my Twitter and Facebook. Guys, thanks again for doing the show.
Thanks
I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man. This is fun.
And this is JT Foreman. I'm here with Taryn Django Tarango and Nick the Dick. Not a Faglia, it's a Faglia.
Oh, what a great nickname.
I don't think it's going to fit on a business card, though.
I don't know. I'll just go with Nikki two times.
There you go. I am JT Foreman. We have been the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you next week. Peace.
Bye, guys. Cute.